Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, as I begin the word today, I want to show you something that we all know very well. It's the remote control. Now, I think this is many people's favorite item in the house, and most homes have at least one of them. And if we have to be honest, well, we like the remote control because, as the name suggests, it gives us a feeling of control. And when these things are in our hands, well, we're in charge. We decide what happens, when it happens, and how it happens. And as long as the remote control is safely in our hands, well, then we're content with life. But if someone takes it from us or we can't find it, many people get panicky. And I think it's fair to say that every household has that one person who never wants to share the remote control with others. Now, generally, when we think of a remote control, we think of it in the context of watching TV. And most controls would have a few key buttons that we use the most. Firstly, there's the pause button. And this allows us to temporarily interrupt what we're watching so that we can do something else. But when we use that pause button, we know that we're coming back to restart. It's only a temporary interruption. You know, stopping in-person services last year in March was an example. Well, we had to push pause because of external circumstances, but it was always temporary so that we could get back as soon as it was feasible to do so. Then there's also the stop button. And this is similar to pause in that it interrupts what we're watching, except that this implies that we're not coming back anytime soon to resume. I think sadly we've seen many people push the stop button on church and their walk with God over the past year, and some people have become disconnected and really feel no real need or desire to come back to church. The good thing is that pushing stop is not necessarily final. It's not the same as eject, but it does mean that you've become stuck in a place where God never intended for you to be. Then there's also the rewind button. And this allows you to catch up on something you may have missed or something that you want to replay over again. Now, this can be a good thing in that we always have opportunities in life to make amends where perhaps we've made poor decisions, but it can be a bad thing in that many people replay their same issues over and over again, always believing that they're on the wrong end of life and unfortunately never taking responsibility and moving forward. Then remote controls generally also have a fast forward button, and this allows you to skip bits that you don't like or haven't got time to watch. And I think many people have wished to fast forward right to the end of this COVID season so that we don't have to deal with everything that's still going on. And we kind of think, oh man, if we could just get past this and things can go back to normal and the way they were, well, I'm sure we'd all like that. But never forget that God is busy working right now. And if we're so desperately looking ahead to a more favorable time, well, you and I are going to miss out on opportunity and blessing in the present because, well, there's a whole lot that God is wanting to do both in us and through us. Remote controls also have a channel search button, and this really allows you to determine what you watch. I think this is probably the button that gives us the feeling of most control. The only problem, though, of course, is that we end up spending so much time channel searching that we actually watch nothing in particular. And I think this is like people who are so busy looking for the right circumstances and everything to be just perfectly ideal that they actually never get anything done. Then there's one last button I want to mention, and this is the one I want to focus on today. It's the play button. I think this is most people's favorite button because every time we push play, something happens that allows the story of our lives to continue. And so I've titled the message today simply, Push, Play, Again. Push, Play, Again. In John chapter 5, Jesus meets a man who's really been using a combination of all these buttons for 38 years except for the play button. And we read in John 5 from verse 1 in the New Living Translation, the Bible says that afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was the Pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. Now, just to let you know that the end of verse 3 and 4 are included as a footnote in most modern translations, as we're unsure whether it was actually part of the original text. But that footnote says of these people who lay on the porches that they were waiting for a certain movement of the water, for an angel of the Lord came from time to time and stirred up the water. And the first person to step in after the water was stirred was healed of whatever disease he had. Then verse 5 continues, and it says, one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he'd been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I've no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Here was a man whose life had stopped moving forward. For 38 years, he'd been stuck where he was, in the same place, doing the same things, going nowhere, and I guess believing that there was nothing he could personally do to change things. You know, the scripture shows us that he was waiting for ideal circumstances in order for things to change. But when Jesus meets him, the Lord gives him a simple instruction. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus telling him really that it's time to push play again. It's time to get up and get on with your life and keep moving forward. You know, the past 12 months have caused things to happen that we had no control over. I mean, come on, COVID took us all by surprise. Our lives changed in so many ways. Things are different now to how they used to be, and people got stuck because of that. You know, many people were seemingly in control of their lives and in control of their businesses and their finances and in control of their families and their spiritual walk with God. But then one day realized that they no longer had control, and instead they got stuck and have not been able to make any forward progress for a while now. You know, church, there will always be things in life that are beyond our control, but there are always things that we can control and should control, because if we don't, well, we will end up like this man, paralyzed by life and unable to move forward. You know, I'm so grateful that we've been able to open our church doors again. And, you know, I'm fully aware that the circumstances are not completely ideal. There's still infections around. 100 people per service is definitely not ideal for us. You know, some people are waiting to get the vaccine first before coming back. We've even had quite a few other people ask us whether the vaccine is the mark of the beast mentioned in Revelation. Can I assure you, it's definitely not the mark of the beast. You know, the Bible is very clear that those who receive this mark will do so in rebellion to God and in complete defiance to His authority. And so it's not something that you can get by accident. Then there are also others, people who've said, no, they can't come back to church until we stop wearing masks. But the point is simply this. Don't put your life on hold because you're waiting for everything around you to be just right. It's not going to happen. Things will never be perfectly ideal or exactly as we'd like them to be, but we have to get on with living and serving the purposes of God. And as a campus, even though things are not perfectly suited to us reopening, we felt that it's time to push play again. I want us to look at three of the responses of this paralyzed man to Jesus, and then look at three responses of Jesus to the paralyzed man, so that whatever your life looks like now, you can confidently push play again. I hope this is encouraging you so far. The first response of the paralyzed man was this. He believed that he had no future. You know, in verse 6, when Jesus came to the man. He asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said. You know, this man had been the way he was for so long that he was unable to imagine that life could ever be any different. The Bible says that for 38 years he'd been paralyzed, and that's a long, long time. In fact, 38 years back takes you all the way to 1983. And I know many of you watching and listening weren't even born then. And you would think that if anyone had a right to believe, they should accept their lot in life. Well, it was this man. But what's very interesting from this passage is that Jesus doesn't ask the man if he thinks it's possible for him to get well. Jesus asks him if he wants to get well. And that's a very, very big question, because, you know, I've realized that not everyone who is sick wants to get well, and not everyone who's stuck actually wants to get moving again. Because for as long as you're unable to move, well, I guess no one has any expectation of you. But if you've been healed and God has made you well, well, then there's an expectation that you get on with your life and you can't stay stuck any longer. David Guzik, the well-known Bible commentator, says of this man that in this man's particular case, it was reasonable to wonder if he really wanted to be healed. As bad as his current situation was, at least he was familiar with it. William Barclay, in his commentary on this passage, says that an Eastern beggar often loses a good living by being cured of his disease. You know, church, the danger for all of us is that the longer we get stuck for, well, the harder it becomes for us to get moving again, because we get used to the way things are. Can I encourage you today watching to take check of your life and ask yourself, what areas have I got stuck in, and in what ways has my life stopped moving forward? And then also ask yourself, do I really want things to change? Because that's the question that Jesus asks us. Do you want to get well? The second response of this man is that he allowed himself to become isolated. He says to Jesus, "For I've no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up." You know, over time, it would seem that this man had distanced himself from other people. Even though he was surrounded by other people on a daily basis, he still allowed himself to become isolated. And so when he needed people around him to encourage him and lift him up, well, he actually realized there was no one there for him. I think over the past year, many people have isolated themselves from others. I mean, partly because, well, initially we all had to. But let's be honest, it's also because it's sometimes easier not to work at building relationships with others than it is to actually do so, particularly when we go through our own personal challenges. You know, it's often easier to hide away and not work at our relationships, but what we don't realize is that we can very, very easily get into a dark hole, and then it becomes difficult to find a way out. I know many people are still cautious about getting back to in-person services, and you know, it's wonderful to have the online option available, but there's still nothing quite like the physical gathering of believers, even if we have to wear masks and sanitize and have our temperatures taken, because the truth is that we all need each other. We need one another's support and encouragement and cheering on. And God hasn't created us to live isolated. You know, church, also never forget that the devil loves to isolate people, because if he can get you away from the group, well, you become a much more vulnerable target for him. So stay connected to church. Stay connected to other people. Stay plugged into the Word and connected to the things of God. I read a great quote this week by American pastor and author Bobby Shuler. And he said, "I believe that Satan's first and primary method of attack is always to isolate. When he gets you to a place when you feel alone and unsupported, all kinds of lies can take root in your heart. Without the edification and encouragement of truthful voices, the devil whispers to you that you are a victim, that you are being taken advantage of, and that nobody loves you." The third response of this man was He made excuses. He made excuses. Verse 7, he says to Jesus that someone else always gets there ahead of me. You know, this man was reliving his past over and over again. His life was in permanent stop mode, and the reality is that he'd seen no progress for the past 38 years. And when Jesus meets this man and asks him whether he wants to get better, well, the man immediately begins to make excuses for why he is the way that he is. Rather than taking personal responsibility, I think he does what we're all good at doing, you know, at times, is we deflect the blame away from us to someone else. And we say things like, oh, Lord, it's not my fault. I'm just a victim of circumstances. I really believe that, you know, once COVID finally moves on, that there's going to be two major categories of people. I think there will be those who've made the most of circumstances, and then there will be those who've become bogged down by what has happened. There'll be those who refuse to make excuses and who use this time to grow themselves and better themselves. And these are people who always find ways to win. They believe for opportunity, even in the midst of adversity. They keep trusting God. They stay in the Word. They stay plugged into church, even if it is online. And they simply refuse to let circumstances dictate the course of their lives. These people just keep moving forward. And if anything, will have gotten better as a result of this COVID season. You know, I've seen in our Durban North staff team that how this has played out. Each person has had to do different things and stretch themselves beyond their normal ministry duties over the past year. And because of that, well, our team has had to learn new skills and develop in new areas. But as a result, the team is better equipped than ever before to do what God has called us to. You know, but there are also people in life, and maybe you can relate to this, people who haven't grown and developed themselves in the season. And while others have moved ahead, well, they've got stuck and now have to find excuses as to why they're not making forward progress. They've allowed what has happened to direct the course of their future. You know, we see from the scripture that this paralyzed man had been making excuses for so long that it was now his natural response when Jesus questioned him. But church, can I remind you, as you often hear me say, that in life we can either make excuses or we can make progress, but we can't do both. You know, today, if you make excuses for why your marriage is failing, well, you're never going to make progress in that area. If you are today, as a business person, making excuses for why your business is not growing, well, you're never going to see breakthrough. And if you make excuses why you don't read your Bible, or why you don't watch church online, or why you won't be coming back to in-person services, well, you're simply not going to see progress in your walk with God, because you will stay stuck. It was the great American scientist George Washington Carver who put it so nicely when he once said that 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Now I want us to look at three responses of Jesus. And these are three things that Jesus said this man needs to do in order to push play again on his life. And what's very interesting about Jesus' response is that he doesn't go into pastoral mode. He doesn't entertain the man's condition. He simply tells him what he needs to do so that he doesn't stay stuck where he is. The first response of Jesus to the man is this: stand up. In other words, take responsibility. You see, this man had failed to take responsibility for his life. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to him or what caused him to be the way he was. It probably was something that he didn't choose, and he might even have had no control over it. And yet Jesus still expected him to take personal responsibility for his life. You know, the reality is for all of us is that there will be many things in life that will happen to us that we have no control over. But church, never forget, we always have control about how we respond to what happens to us. Harry Truman was the president of the United States from 1945 to 1953. And he was known to have a sign placed on his desk in the Oval Office that simply said, "The buck stops here." Now, the sign obviously had to do with the saying that was popular back in his day, "Pass the buck," which, as you know, means to shirk responsibility. And at the time, there were a number of government agencies that were notorious for passing the buck and for failing to make decisions and take responsibility for them. And I think most of us would probably agree that very little has changed in that space today. But the reality is that it's always easier to pass the buck or fail to take responsibility for our lives. But until we do, we cannot move forward in life and we cannot step into the opportunities that God has made available for us. Friend, can I urge you that whatever is messy in your life today, or whatever area you are not seeing progress in, do as Jesus said, stand up and begin to take responsibility. Steve Maraboli is a well-known best-selling author, and he says that by not accepting personal responsibility for our circumstances, we greatly reduce our power to change them. The second response of Jesus to this man was simply this: pick up your mat. In other words, don't allow the past to define you. This man had been lying on his mat for 38 years. You know, that mat had really become an extension of his life. Wherever he went, his mat went too. And it became his default setting. You know, when life got hard again and things didn't work out again, and each time no one came to help him into the waters again, what did he do? Well, he lay down on his mat and played the role of the victim. And church, never forget that in life, we always get to choose whether we're going to be a victim of our circumstances or whether we are going to be victorious over our circumstances. And when Jesus told the man to pick up his mat, well, he did it with the intent that this man be done with his mat. Jesus was effectively asking him to roll it up for good so that even when things became tough again in the future, as they would, he would not default to lying down and giving up, but would rather choose life and push play again. There's a well-known Christian author by the name of Lisa Terkuist, and she says it's impossible to hold up the banner of victim and victory at the same time. Can you say amen to that? Then thirdly, Jesus responds to the man and says to him, walk. In other words, keep moving forward. You see, it's only once we stop making excuses and we start taking responsibility for our lives that we can begin to walk again. You know, Jesus didn't start by telling the man to walk. The man first had to do what he needed to do, and then Jesus was able to do what the man couldn't do on his own. And listen, we have to acknowledge, to this man's credit, even though he'd been an invalid for 38 years, he did what Jesus told him to do. You know, many of us want what Jesus has for us, but we're not willing to do what Jesus says we need to do. And I love the fact, I love this about Scripture, that Jesus' solution for the man wasn't a complicated one. I mean, this man didn't have to do all sorts of rituals to get his life moving forward again. He just needed to do what Jesus instructed him to do. You know, if you're watching today and you realize that you are stuck in life, the answer is not as complicated as you may think it is. If you will do what the Lord tells you to do, you will be able to get moving again so that you can make forward progress. But can I also say that if you are not willing to do what the Bible says, it actually doesn't matter what else you do. You will not get the breakthrough you need and you will stay stuck. God's desire is always that His children move forward. You need to know today that He has more for you and He has more that He wants to accomplish through your life. But you and I have to make a decision to push play again and not allow ourselves to stay stuck. And I think, as we've seen from Scripture, that if we can stop making excuses and we can begin to take responsibility for our circumstances and our lives, and if we're willing to listen to the instructions the Lord gives, then by the grace of God, we can keep moving forward into the wonderful future that God has prepared for us. I want to pray in a moment for people to respond to Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. It breaks down our relationship with Him, and it really makes us enemies of God. And what sin also does is that it prevents our lives from moving forward. You know, sin is like a weight around us that holds us back from knowing God and from serving Him. But Jesus came as God in the flesh to rescue us and to push play on our lives again. The Bible says He shed His blood at the cross to pay the debt for all our sins and was then raised to life on the third day so that we too could be raised to eternal life. The good news for all of us is that forgiveness is available to every sinner who repents and acknowledges their need for Jesus the Savior. If you need forgiveness today, then can I encourage you to open your heart to the Lord right now and pray this prayer with me. Father God, I come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Today I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins and my past. Thank You, Lord, that Your blood was shed on the cross to pay for my sins in full. Today I respond to You, God. I confess Jesus as Lord, and I believe in my heart that You were raised from the dead. And because of that, the Bible says I'm saved. I'm a new creation. I surrender to You in full. Thank You that I have a hope and a future. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that prayer said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.